Learn the art of investing on MoneyWise.
Welcome to the MoneyWise podcast. This is Sheetal, and today we're going to be talking about you in how you respond to your own investments. And if you're wondering what this is all about, well, the topic today is behavioral finance, the kind of psychological aspects, behaviors, biases, influences that sort of inform your investment decisions. We have someone who's passionate about the field. He has spent about 17 years in the area of financial investments and advice. He's also someone who's passionate about financial literacy. His name is Ashish Modani, and he's the founder of SLA Financial Solutions based out of Jaipur. And they're an organization with one of the highest number of SIPs across India, and they're rated amongst the top financial advisory firms of the country. So we are in the safe hands of Ashish Modani to help us understand behavioral finance. What a fascinating subject, even from the sound of it, Ashish. Welcome to the show, and how are you today?
Yeah, thank you so much, Sheetal. Thanks for inviting me here.
So first things first, Ashish, would be great for our listeners to get a sense of behavioral finance and how investor behavior has always been a major variable in financial investments. Can you explain this area to our listeners?
So, Sheetal, at the outset, just let me quote, the guru of Warren Buffett, Mr. Benjamin Graham. Investor's chief problem and even his worst enemy is likely to be himself. Now, the problem with the low return in portfolio or the return that the real investors actually get is not likely to be volatile market or the underperformance of the schemes, but it's going to be the investor behavior.
Okay.
You know, it's basically the human psychology that we always tend to believe that a great product is actually needed to make us as a great user. So we tend to focus a lot on, choosing the best. And in that process, we actually lose out that the real most important aspect is the user. The skill set which is required by the user, which makes an ordinary product look so great. When it comes to investments, investors tend to focus a lot on the best product. And what they think is the best product is going to make him rich or wealthy. And that is what is required. And to me, that's the biggest fallacy. To be a great investor, what we need to possess is certain skills, and those skills are more to do with our behavior, or what we call it as emotional quotient, rather than the intelligent quotient or the IQ.
This is interesting, and also at one level a little worrying, because now I have to look at what is driving me as a human being before I get into the investment markets. But I'm sure you have answers to those questions. You observed, in fact, that investment return is always higher than investor returns. Now this is like a googly. So please tell me what this is, because on the sound of it, it sounds like a bit counterintuitive when you hear of such a thing.
See, the world over, investor return, which what I call it as a folio return, that the real investor actually gets in his pocket. What right. We generally talk about is an investment return. So world over, the statistics is that real people land up getting much lesser return than their own investments. They underperform their own investment rather than actually outperforming the market. There's a company called Dalberg, which is a consultancy firm which does research on investor behavior.
Okay.
They did a research on investor behavior in US, and what they found out that the average investor in US made 40% return lesser than the average fund they invested in. In other words, if an investment gave 10% return, investor landed up only getting 4% return. That's 60% he didn't get because of his bad behavior. That means even if you have the best of the fund, investors don't actually make it that way because of their own behavior.
So that is explaining the idea, the concept that there is such a thing as investment return and there is such a thing as investor return. So that bit is clear. But what are the typical common examples of bad behavior or mistakes that investors can make from a behavior or emotion or the psychology point of view?
Okay, so the biggest mistake that investors make is, chasing past performance.
Okay.
When you drive a car, you don't look at the rear view mirror and then drive it. Most of the time, you're looking at the front view. But when it comes to investment, most of the investors often look at the past performance. And what they think is that previous performance are going to repeat, and then they base their decision based on the past performance and they chase return. A fund which has performed in the best in the last 1 year, 2 year or 3 year category. Now that is a fallacy, because most of the time the funds are not going to repeat their performance. And if you land up not getting the return, then the investor tend to, you know, leave the fund and then grab to another high return fund. And that's why they keep chasing the high performance. That doesn't work actually in the future. And let's make it very clear, no one understands future. That's a simple point. The second thing that investor makes a big mistake is where they give a lot of importance to media. Now see, what is to be picked up from a media and what is to be ignored from the media has to be understood. Whether it's Google or it's YouTube or it's podcast or there's so many other aspects. What we have to understand is what you have to pick up. When you focus too much on media, we actually lose focus on the long term, because media tends to focus too much on, you know, short term. Breaking news actually keeps coming every 10 minutes on media. That's where the financial media also plays their role of, you know, giving the best performance, best investment to make this Diwali, best investment to make this financial year or something like that. That actually, you know, derails the long term plans of an investor.
Right.
The third important point that I want to say, you know, in a WhatsApp world where everything is so fast, you know, we have lost patience. Mm. And the lack of patience in investment actually never makes money. See, in an investment, there are three things: amount that I invest in, the return that I get, and the time that I invest in. The most important variable is the time that you give to investments. But what happens, we actually focus on getting the maximum return. And in that process, we lose our patience. And essentially, you know, ek Hindi mein kahawat hoti hai, prakriti mein pralay teji se aati hai, srijan ko samay lagta hai. It takes time to build. Devastation takes in minutes. So if you want to create a sizable amount of wealth, what you need to first give is loads and loads of time. And for that, actually need to have patience. You know, it is important to understand difference between information and knowledge. So knowledge and wisdom comes from experience, by understanding what information to take up and what information to exclude.
Got that. Superb.
You're listening to MoneyWise, successful investment ideas that create wealth. Did you know?
Behavioral finance research indicates that people in general react more strongly to losses than gains. One study in 1995 determined that investors felt 2.5 times as bad about a $1 loss as they felt good about a $1 gain.
Personal finance simplified, only on MoneyWise.
Now, when you talk about mistakes, right, Ashish, what can one do when one realizes, okay, you know, when one looks back at one's, you know, the result or the report card, really, and you say you realize you're repeating the same things that are not really adding any value to your investment portfolio or actually being financially detrimental. And this pattern of behavior you seem to be repeating. What if you've recognized that? Or what if you recognize that your financial advisor, for example, is being swayed by his biases, emotions are not in place, and so on? Because, you know, at the end of the day, all of us are coming from this. The intent is that I don't want to lose money, and that cannot be a bad intent. And there's also there's also instinct, right? That is at play. So how does one, you know, make sense of all of this and put the brakes when one is hurtling in the wrong direction? Let me put it that way.
Investment is a very long-term journey. It's not a matter of just a weekend kind of an out, you know, we can plan a weekend anyway. You know, it's a 10, 20, 30, 40 year kind of a plan that we need to have. So what is very critical is to have a plan of action. When we take a 7-day break, and let's say we want to travel to Northeast or we want to travel to any other place in the world, we do a lot of, you know, working 3 months prior, there's a total plan in place. We know what places we're going to visit, what kind of travel we're going to have, what kind of weather is going to be, and everything. We have a clear plan in place. Similarly, when we actually talk of personal finance, what is important is have a plan of action. Okay, so I'm 32 right now. Maybe next 7, 8, 10 years, 14 years, I'll be able to save. My first kid is going to, you know, have his higher education at that particular year. Second kid will probably this. Probably I want to retire, or me, I have some travel plans, or I need to have a retirement home. But all these are essentially goals for which I have a timeline. And for this, I need to have a plan of action so that I can adhere to the timeline and reach to my goals in a proper way. So that plan of action essentially, you know, removes or at least eliminates an emotional biases that I have. And when we are able to take a rational call, that plan of action actually also helps us to start early. And that, so that the power of compounding works. Second thing that we want to say, review our portfolio. So the point is, we must review a portfolio, but there has to be certain determined timelines or a fixed interval on which I would review my portfolio. There has to be a predetermined interval, maybe let's say once in a year, or maybe max twice in a year. I look at my portfolio once in the month of June and in the month of December, and there is no in between I will be looking at my portfolio. And I don't, when I look at my portfolio, I don't judge the portfolio again by making past performance or relative performance of funds. I judge them based on, you know, is there any increment in my salary? Is there an increment in my profits? Or is there some change in my financial goal? Or is there something different which has happened in my life? Because end of the day, I'm planning my life. I'm not really bothered about markets or something else. That is something which is very important. And the third thing, because investment is a very, very, very long-term journey, it is important that I have an advisor in place. And more importantly, that advisor should not be a yes sir person. He should actually be able to tell you where you are going wrong. That's the kind of advisor you need to have so that you can trust him over a period of 10, 20, 30, 40 years.
Understood. Now, got to ask you this. I'm sure there is a flip side to this argument. We don't want people to be, you know, this analysis paralysis things happens to a lot of people. Suddenly like, oh my God, am I being too emotional? Am I being too, thinking about this too much?
Yeah.
Because playing it too safe could mean that you could miss out on some nice opportunity that comes your way for some quick growth in your investment value or portfolio value. So from a behavioral finance point of view, right, how does one achieve that right balance, Ashish, between safety or long-term planning and also taking these calculated risks now and then?
When you're managing your short-term money, when you're managing a money which I need to use it in a year or two, that is a time we need to be focused on capital risk. We should have our investments in a non-volatile asset, maybe fixed deposits or something else, wherein the capital safety is at of utmost importance. But when we look at a long-term portfolio, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years down the line, that is where a long-term portfolio gets constructed. And that's where we need to take care of a purchasing power risk, which is inflation risk. Understand investment as a journey. A journey that you take from point A to point B.
Okay.
Now, the journey may be a very long-term journey, maybe 20 years, 30 years, or like, let's say, traveling from Jaipur to Mumbai. Or a journey may be a short-term journey, which is like traveling within the city. Now, you have gears in your vehicle. Understand those gears of in your vehicle as investment products. Now, not all the gears are meant for all the speeds. Now, when you want to drive slow, you have to take one or two gears, like the first gear, the second gear. But when you have to drive fast, you have to take the fourth and the fifth gear. So from traveling from Jaipur to Mumbai, I probably will be driving faster. But when I'm traveling within Jaipur, I'll be driving slower. Now, when I'm driving slow, I need to have first and second gear. The first and second gear are essentially debt products, fixed deposits or debt funds, something like that. But when I'm traveling for a long distance, I need to actually take fast, which is called equity products. So I need to go with the equity products, equity mutual fund or an ELSS product or something like that. That's where I'll drive fast. Now, when you're driving fast, you have to have a, you know, risk management. That means you should do regular investments over a course of period of time. That's where a concept like SIP come into picture. The systematic investment plan comes into picture.
Understood. Yeah. So that sort of helps us navigate this, you know, fine balance between taking those light risks. And I love the analogy of a gear, you know, the first to the fifth. It really depends on what your need of the hour is. Not every gear is for every aspiration that you might have. Most important question coming up is a final one, Ashish, for you. Now, if my behavior is such a large variable, how do I pick the best investment option so I can avoid being swayed by all these emotions and biases? Is it possible to do that? You know, just fill it, shut it, forget it kind of thing. I don't even want to feel any emotions at all. Na rahe baas, na bajega baasuri. So that's the thing. How does that happen?
So if you want a product which is fill it, shut it, forget it, have a plain vanilla diversified fund. Maybe a plain vanilla equity fund for your long-term objective, maybe an index fund or a mid-cap fund or a small-cap fund actually can suffice your long-term portfolio. Important is then don't keep looking, peeping into it. Okay, aaj ye chal raha hai, ye wo chal raha hai, aisa chal raha hai, aisa chal raha hai. Wo avoid kari mistakes. Just stay on the course, have a plan of action, keep a simple product and just sail it through. Keep it simple, stupid. That's a key strategy that I always keep telling my investors, don't make it complicated.
This is, I think, wisdom. Keep it simple. I think truer words haven't been spoken on this podcast. But, you know, before we wrap up, Ashish, I'm curious to know, is there a behavior you yourself had to correct when you were beginning, for example, your investment journey? Something that you almost fell into the trap of yourself?
Okay, let me be very honest to all the audience here. Till 5-7 years of my investment journey on my personal investment side, I used to manage my investments on my own. Later I realized that I was badly messing up with it because I have loads of emotional bias. That's the thing I actually decided, and I actually had an advisor. And when now that I have an advisor, I feel very safe and secure. I just rely on him and say, okay, now I'm in trusted hands. So what is very critical in a today's DIY world, in today's world, which is full of apps, where the transactions are, you know, can be made in a click of a mouse, we actually tend to think that just making a transaction is going to help us. Whereas investment is a journey which is very, very long term.
Perfect. Given the month of September saw Teacher's Day, which is still fresh in our minds. Every day, as far as I'm concerned, is Teacher's Day only, because when it comes to financial literacy, you have to learn every day from things that experts are telling you and advisors are telling you. Super. Well, on that note, we thank you, Ashish, for some coaching on behavioral finance on today's MoneyWise podcast. And here's wishing you and everyone at SLA Financial Solutions the very best going forward. Thank you for
being here. Thank you so much, Ethan.
You're listening to MoneyWise, brought to you by IDFC Mutual Funds. Check out the rest of our series for more investment advice.